You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. Brothers in the building, in the house. Starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Another year around the sun.
Yes.
So I'm
happy birthday,
I'm
brother.
Happy about that. And I'm really the oldest of the new old heads. So I thought about that when I went back and watched the clip about I'm willing to fight dirty.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's some old man stuff.
That's
right,
definitely
there.
Old. Yeah.
Where I said I'll throw a trash can at one of these youngsters.
I think that was my title.
That was old.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So I ain't got time.
All right, fair. I ain't mad at you, man. Sometimes you got to throw a trash can.
No, I'm going to win, but you know, you're not gonna get the best of me in my old age.
I heard that. I'm
grabbing
too old.
Nuts.
All right, I'm not, you know.
Damn, yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Okay, I have some honor about myself. You know?
Hey, ain't no honor, no fight.
No, there's a certain level of things.
You know, how bad you want to win, brother? Hey, how bad you want to win?
I will. Hey, I'll trip you if you try to run, but okay. I'm not
Money Mike grabbed Damon nuts.
No, sure did.
No, you know.
We'll see how that works out.
I am a boy.
Damon?
All the time. Yeah.
Damon?
Yeah, it's a different scenario.
That's funny.
Shout out to my man Longevity. How are you, sir?
Doing all right, man. Thank you for asking.
No hat long today?
Doesn't look like it.
I didn't know if you might, you know, go into a wardrobe change or something.
Maybe,
man.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, we got it locked and loaded. Okay. At least I know you got it locked and loaded. Got some new old heads merch on there. I see you. We got special. Well, I'm going to keep saying special because this brother is special, you know, but he's starting to...
That could go any kind of way.
Yeah, right. You know what? I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone.
The R word?
Yeah. We ain't going to go down that road. Okay. I'm going to leave that alone.
Look what I can do.
But the homie brother tonight is back in the building. We appreciate you, brother. How are you?
I'm well, man. I appreciate y'all allowing me to come on to the show again, man.
Thank you, man. Drunken Nights podcast. We see y'all. Good to have you back, brother. Got some good ratings last time you slid through. I heard some good things.
That's what's up, you know?
Yeah, who's dude? He crazy. Who's dude? He funny. Who is dude? I got a lot of that, man.
Well,
hopefully they looked you up and did their research.
Did you tell them who dude was?
I did tell them who dude was.
Yeah.
I said, this is how you can find dude. Yep. He said it on the show if you watched the whole show, but yeah, this is how you look dude up and you'll find dude here.
Yeah.
So
find dude at the Drunken Nights podcast. That's Nights with a K.
That's it.
God bless.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, man. Did you see your boy Prize?
I did.
Listen, man. Now, I didn't say, matter of fact, we were at the meet and greet. I handed Lone the phone because I saw it popped up on, I think, Art of Dialogue or something.
Mm-hmm.
I like dude. He got some good content. But apparently this dude has been Prize from the Fugees for everybody keeping score at home.
The lesser the other known guy. One. Yeah.
The other.
The tall one.
Hey. I know. I have a friend that actually rides for Prize. As it relates to the Fugees.
That's unfortunate. I mean, no, great for him.
He got the Ghetto Superstar album with that crib.
Yeah, I think
that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think he.
That's cool, I guess.
He ain't that bad, man. I said, look, man.
No, he is.
No, yeah. I listened to another other hip hop to where I'm like, I'm not going to, I can't, no.
I
no,
so.
Just no.
Bro,
if that's your starting point, then, you know.
Fam is accused of conspiring to funnel money from a government fund in Malaysia.
Ooh.
To finance Obama's 2012 presidential campaign with a Malaysian businessman, bro. And you scroll down, it says he faces multiple charges, including money laundering, campaign finance violations, acting as an unregistered agent for foreign nationals, witness tampering, and lying to banks. According to NBC, he could face up to 22 years. So my boy has been out here as an informant, man. I was beyond shocked.
That's the first I've heard of this, and that's a lot to unpack.
That is a lot, bro. Think about everything that I just read in terms of...
This has been an ongoing story. So,
bro.
I mean, it's just not because his Prize is not at the top of most people's news feed, but yeah.
Money laundering, campaign finance violations.
I thought Prize would have been in jail by now.
Acting as an unregistered agent for foreign nationals, witness tampering, and lying to banks, bro. You know how much stuff that is?
Dude, lying to banks is enough to get you caught up.
Bro, yeah. I don't even know. When he said informant, when I first saw it, I'm like, okay, so Prize out here, foul. You know, he's been a hip-hop police underground or something like that. But when I read this, I'm like, This is way worse.
This is way beyond the streets.
Yeah, but that was my initial reaction. Like, this fool has been on some wiretap for hip hop, which would be really bad as old as he is and how long he's been in rap. But
well, you know, John Forte been along.
Yeah, because he got caught up with like 20 pounds of liquid cocaine.
Yeah,
he did.
Cocaine.
And I was wondering if that was.
I never thought about maybe there was a connection there.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, that's what I.
I saw some people mentioning John Forte on like Twitter and you know IG and stuff like that, but I didn't really.
But you know what's crazy? You know
I don't know the timeline is one thing too though.
Do you know who got John Forte out of jail? George W. Bush.
He did.
He pardoned him. He was tied in with those kind of circles to where there were people who said, "Hey, you know, let's go ahead," because he got like life in jail. I didn't even know. I was like liquid cocaine. I didn't. You know, I was like, let me not even. Keep Googling this. I don't or whatever was out at the time, Lycos or Ask Jeeves or whatever. This is how long ago it was.
Ask Jeeves.
You know, and I was like, oh, wow. He's never coming home. Like, you know, and whatever money he made from that Poli Sci album is not going to be enough.
Why you do you
to get him out of this? You don't remember the John Forte album?
I do, but I don't. I'm
didn't
just going to say
like, wasn't he like Silver or something?
Like Silver, he had a song like basically he redid 99 Red Balloons. Wyclef did it, I think. I mean, DMX was on the album. Like it has some weird features on it.
What year did this come out?
I want to say like 97,
98.
Was probably
yeah.
But he was around the same time that Cannabis signed with him.
Yeah, because it was like Cannabis, DMX, John Forte. It was going to be this Mace or Cam'ron. It was this new generation of hip hop, and they included him in all that.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, he was on the Trying to Stay Alive. He was on Cowboys on the Fugees album.
Yep, I remember that. So song is fire too.
Yeah. He had a bit of a buzz going for him, but I digress. I mean, we're talking about Praz.
Young Z was my
from the Outsiders. Yeah.
I thought he was going to be that dude.
I mean, that's when I first heard Rod Digga.
Yeah.
So, Cowboys is still my joint.
But no, this it might be a rap for fam. This is that's a long list.
Yeah, so we're not getting that Fugees reunion. I mean, we weren't getting it anyway.
Remember we had bets on how many shows they were going to show up late to. I think I wrote it down on a document, but I think I lost it because they ended up not really doing anything. So, I think I had them missing 90% of the, being late to 90% of the shows or something like that.
Yeah, especially if Lauren was driving.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with Pros. now it does.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, low-key, they're going to be like, well, y'all can't get your tour now because fam going to jail. So
I think they could still do it without him, couldn't they?
Oh, they definitely could. Pretty I'd be much. There.
Yeah.
Are they going more people might? No, I ain't going to say that.
No, see, yeah, don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I ain't going to do him like that. I ain't going to do
it. I mean,
what else was he going to perform besides his verses? It wasn't going to be like a special prize section.
Right.
He got some joints.
He'd be like, come on, do Ghetto Superstar.
Yeah, he can do that.
Without ODB and Maya.
Yeah, I was about to say, most people really cared to listen to ODB and Maya. That was it.
You ain't lying, though. You really
Bulwark are. Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Man, good call. Yeah. I can't even remember that movie. That was Warren Beatty. Yeah, okay.
Halle Berry.
He was pretty much Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, man.
Yeah. They talked that movie up crazy, and it just wasn't great.
Remember when soundtracks were really a thing, man? Like,
yes,
you do.
Sometimes you get the soundtrack. Look, I know. I remember the New Jersey Drive soundtrack. I didn't see New Jersey Drive until like 5 or 6 years later.
I remember when it was a thing. I don't know if I ever really liked a soundtrack though.
Above the Rim.
Man. I was about to classic. Say that's
hey.
Arguably the best.
Case, Murder Juice. Was the Case. Juice. The Show was the show.
The show
had a soundtrack.
Poetic Justice.
New Jack City had a soundtrack. Yep.
Soul Food.
Soul Food had a soundtrack.
That's crazy.
Waiting to Exhale.
Come on.
A lot of African American films had very good soundtracks. Yeah.
I mean, even if you want to go away from that, there's a movie called Singles. You were in part of the grunge movement.
Mm.
I think he lost me there. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Had a nice little situation.
Have Plenty. Yeah.
Gross Point Blank had a nice soundtrack, but it was a retro situation.
Okay.
With John Cusack.
Jackie Brown.
There you go.
Superfly.
Okay, well, that's taking it back.
Yeah.
Mac.
But it's a hell of a
car
soundtrack.
Wash.
Yeah.
So, yes, just a whole, there's a history of soundtracks being, influential. Might have been.
I mean, I have a few of them, but Boomerang. I do remember Boomerangs.
Boomerang had heat. Right, good call, J Diff. Yeah. Good call. High School High. Yep.
A lot of these soundtracks were better than the movies.
For the most part, yeah.
Blue Thunder soundtrack.
What? Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
What was? Oh yeah, that had Ladies Night on it.
Yeah.
I have the Ghostbusters 1 soundtrack.
Okay. Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah. 2 had Bobby Brown.
On Our Own is the coldest song associated with Ghostbusters ever.
It had Bobby Brown. The next song.
It had Dougie Fresh joint.
Dougie Fresh, on Run DMC, New Edition. They were all on there.
Mm. I forgot about that. The Dougie Fresh joint.
Spirits. Some people fear it. Something like that.
Yeah, no, because they actually play that in the movie.
Oh, for real? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. Spirits. Some people fear it. Some people just won't get near it. It's in the outro, I think. The credits.
Yeah, it's the credits when it. No.
New Jack City.
It is. Yeah. It's the credits. Heist.
No, new. If you look it up, Run DMC, one of their videos is. Yeah, whatever the song was off the Ghostbusters, I just remember they had Sigourney Weaver with the hat on and the gold chain walking into the Run DMC concert.
Bro, it's crazy to me that. you ain't
Annie Potts was in it too. Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Annie Potts had a glow up from movie 1 to movie 2.
This is true.
Bro, but if you think with Bobby Brown, you can make a case, and Bobby Brown got heat. We all know that. But can't you make a case for that record being top 10-ish from him?
It's my favorite Bobby Brown song. So.
It's not even up for debate. You got to understand.
You got to have it in the top 10, right?
When we talk about songs of the summer, that was the song of the summer in 1989. It's not even up for debate. Yeah. And he was still riding the wave of Don't Be Cruel was still killing it at that time.
Yeah.
Bruh, that was a huge, that record, that's a huge.
That came on still every day.
I remember.
That summer. I mean, the only thing that was rivaling it was Prince's Bat Dance, and nobody plays Bat Dance anymore. You still hear terrible.
Shout out to my dude.
Didn't like Bat Dance?
I hated it.
Keep busting.
Did you like Party Man?
Party Man was cool.
Okay.
You hated Bat Dance,
but I hated Bat Dance.
And it's like they played
it. The video used to scare me when I was a kid.
I mean, they played it every hour on MTV and BET when we were kids.
I remember On Our Own, they used to have toys, yeah. They used to have toys at Hardee's that had, like, to push a button.
Well, I ain't gonna say that because they can cut us a check. Go ahead.
Yeah, my bad.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
But they used to, that's when Hardee's still sold fried chicken.
Mm. Yeah, I worked in that era.
Yeah, and they had toys that had On Our Own on it.
You know,
Mo Money.
Because remember the cameos?
Mo Money's a good one.
Remember one of the cameos was of in the On Our Own video? Donald Trump. Donald Trump is in a Bobby Brown video.
That's a good point. What was you going to say, Long?
I was going to say, actually, Mighty J Young mentioned the How High soundtrack. There are a few records that, the Round and Round remix with Method and Jonelle.
Yeah. That song was fire.
I think Hits from the Bong or something with, I think it was Cypress Hill or something.
Even the song where they sample You're Making Me High by Toni Braxton with Method and Red on it.
Smoke
chiba chiba chiba, smoke chiba chiba.
Soul in the Hole. That's a good one, Mighty Joe Young.
It's one of my favorite Smith and Wesson songs.
Mighty J. Young, yeah.
One on
Mighty
one. J. Young, sorry. I love that record. Nobody ever plays it.
Rhyme and Reason soundtrack.
Yeah.
I can see that cover right now in my mind.
That's the one with is Heaven for a Gangster on that? Yep. And then I want to say there's a song with Dog Pound and Lost Boys.
No, Dog Pound and Mac 10, nothing but they
can. Yeah. It's a great record. Great record.
Ballin G had a song too.
Gobernator said you guys got to check out Fighting Temptations from the Fighting Temptations soundtrack. Missy Elliott, Beyonce, MC Light.
I remember that.
And you know what's crazy?
Speaking of Missy,
Beyonce has a song with, of all people, Belial. On Everything I Do, which is an incredible record.
Belial.
I over enunciated, but yeah, Belial.
Why do fools fall in love soundtrack?
Oh yeah.
I met Missy and Tim did some records Tim, on
there. There was an In Vogue record on there.
Yeah. Dead Presidents.
I like the Schindler's List podcast.
He said that. He said that. We don't want to get them.
Lone's like, I'm about to go.
Hans Zimmer.
I think it was Hans Zimmer.
Lone's like, I'm about to go listen to the Ghost Dog soundtrack.
It's not good.
No, it's not. It's not.
I actually have it. I actually bought Ghost Dog the movie for that reason and listened to it. It's not actually very good. RZA has stuff that is just super dope and stuff that is just really bad.
That was a weird. RZA was like, spreading himself so thin at that point.
But it almost
doesn't make sense. Like when you hear like how great some of his stuff is to like how bad some of his stuff is.
His highs are so high though.
Yeah, I agree.
That it offsets the stuff that you're talking about.
That's how high the highs are. Not that commercial where he was making that beat.
Somebody sent me, I think it was Tall Black Guy. He said, bro.
It just kept getting worse.
He was like, he couldn't have been serious. Like the one where he's doing the demo.
Yeah.
He was like, nah, he couldn't have been serious.
It's just crazy he did that in like Supreme Clientele. Not that far apart.
Bruh.
He's really
be careful,
terrible.
Man. What?
Yeah, he's like his lows are
atrocious. Really, they really are. I almost feel Reza's been
that's
one
my
of my
guy
favorite
too.
Producers.
Yeah, that's my guy.
But when he's on, but when he's off,
dog, you talk
how he's been more often on.
I think definitely in the last 20 years.
All I'm saying is, I'm trying.
It's not
to,
even close. In
I'm
last
trying.
No,
to,
it's
years.
Not.
Yeah, last 20 years, I give you that. You're right. But what I'm saying is, bruh, when they did Primo versus RZA, I had so many people tell me, man, he about to get washed.
I thought the same thing.
I said, wait, go back and think about those first. Go back and think about Iron Man. Think about Cuban Link. 90s think about Liquid Swords.
But he didn't even.
He did all
did
of those.
Play the what? Did he play?
I don't even think he played Long Kiss Goodnight. People don't even remember that. They don't even think about
beat.
That he did that on Biggie's album.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. You just blew my mind.
Did I put you on game? Yeah. That beat is fire.
Go back and listen to it, and you'll be like, this sounds
RZA did
like
that.
RZA too.
Yeah.
Like,
I make your mouth
and everything.
So be.
Yeah.
Man, that song is cold. That beat is cold. Yeah, shout out to Bobby, man.
Bobby. I mean, he had the first beat where, like, the tempo was changing in
yep.
it. I'm just, you know, he had the skip record. Like, some of the stuff he did was just...
Hey man,
phenomenal.
Me
and
alone,
then some of the stuff he did was just like, what?
Me alone, I'll never forget, man. I was in the car. I played him that joint off Supreme Clientele, the joint with the record skips. And he's like, dude, what is this? And then they start coming in and rapping over. I will never forget that. We was in the car together. You
yeah,
like, dude, what is this?
I thought
classic album.
I thought it was weird. But, but you know, I can appreciate it now because, you know, I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like, it was literally a record skip. There are no. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
It was a beat made out of a record skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it was unheard of to have a track, a beat that literally changed tempo throughout and got faster.
Digital. Was that on Digital Bullet or was that on?
I can't remember. Was that the one? You ain't. Your mama ain't.
No, that. I love the edits. I think that beat was on Digital.
I think so too.
Digital Bullet, I believe.
I could be wrong.
It wasn't on the Bobby terrible. Digital and Stereo. That album is crazy, by the way. That
the Flood
crazy.
Rang in and said Gravel Pit is one of the corniest beats I've ever heard.
I've heard that.
I agree.
You know what, Flood?
I don't hate that beat compared to some of the other
sounds
stuff.
Sounds like
I didn't,
that
was the
Flintstone
video.
Yeah, I didn't
it
need
like a Scooby Doo beat or something.
Bro, I didn't need Gravel Pit though. I didn't need that.
The main part, but the part where he's trying to do something with the horns that. I was like, get that out of here.
It made me laugh watching the
video
last couple episodes of the TV show. And we're talking about that, bringing it back up.
But you so wrong.
He was talking about you can see the dissension between the rest of the members and him when he was talking about what he was trying to do. And they was like, what in the hell?
Bruh,
what are you trying to do, bro?
I got hype because
just the process.
Is that it, long?
I don't know. I can't do a good RZA. You do a pretty good RZA, but I can't.
Hey, man, my boy that plays Bobby, man, God bless him. But now I'm not familiar with this singer, but it's more about the concept. There's a Canadian singer named Grimes. Do y'all know who that is?
Familiar.
Are you somewhat familiar?
Of the name.
You know,
of the name. I feel like I've heard the name. She's a 35-year-old songwriter. She's like a Canadian producer and performer. She had Yahoo News, she was doing an interview and it says, feel free to use my voice without penalty. And this is as it relates to AI. She said, I'll split 50% royalties on any successful AI-generated song that uses my voice. What do you guys think about the concept of this? Is this going to be, does this sound like a blip or a trend? because we've talked about AI and how weird it is, how different it might be, but how it's going to get legs. I personally believe it's going to get legs and it's going to start getting out of hand. But I haven't heard anybody say, you know, we split can chop that paper up if it gets big enough.
As
I haven't heard
them just taking the money like it was one thing.
Because she's basically saying, yo, you can use it, but if it pop off, I need that 50%. I haven't heard this from an artist yet.
Look, I'm just thinking, like, if did you all hear? We might have played it last week.
The
Tims, yeah. But it was Rihanna.
I heard the Biggie join over Nas. I heard that.
Look, if people can get licensing agreements put into place,
yeah.
And if you're going to sample beats, you're going to sample my voice and flip it. You know, that might be what just happens in the future. I don't want
to
see.
She might be onto something with this though.
Maybe I hope not.
This sounds lazy to me.
But it sounds lazy to you from what she said.
Because one of the things I'm thinking is, are people going to start using this? You know, it's like, okay, I need a Drake type song. They create a Drake, and then they just rap what the AI creates for them. And they say they wrote it. And this person can't, they know how to program a computer, but they don't know how to write lyrics.
Well, there has been things that have come out since we talked about this last, where apparently a person's voice is covered by copyright law. Okay. So you can't do that. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw I'm sure you did. It was kind of a big news story last week where it's the AI song with Drake.
Yes.
Popped off. It was on, I think it was on distribution platforms and stuff too, or something, but it got removed. The labels got involved. Yeah. It was a major thing because the song sounded just like Drake, in my opinion. And I think The Weeknd was on it too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about what she said about the possibility of getting that paper?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think it's an interesting approach because it's most people want to keep their intellectual property,
right?
They want to profit off of it, et cetera, et cetera. But there is another approach with intellectual property, which that she's doing with this, which is use my intellectual property. Maybe she gets more people to use it, so she gets more people to pay attention to her because of it. So she's approaching it from that angle, like, nah, use me,
right?
You know, use me as much as you want.
Exposure.
Give me. And she's going to get percentage points off of it too. I've seen this. I've literally seen this work before. I know there's a political commentator that I follow.
Oh yeah. I know.
Like,
I know you're talking
Hassan
about.
Piker, who does the same thing. Like you can use his content. Like he throws it out. You know, that's, you know, as long as you don't like make him look stupid, you know, and stuff like that, you know, there are limits and stuff, but it's an interesting idea to, you know, give your intellectual property in that aspect out there. And then you reap the benefits of it. I mean, we're talking about it right now.
We are. Oh, I mean, it caught my attention when I read the comment. I said, okay, this is different.
When you think about it, look, I'll split 50% royalties on any AI generated song that uses my voice. She is doing zero work.
That's why I said I thought it's
zero.
I was about to ask why you said
she
was
does
lazy.
All the, like the AI does all of the work, and all you got to do is perform it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you didn't perform it in the first place. You just, the AI did everything, and all you doing is, like, if it really pops off, the song pops up, all you got to do is go perform the song, and you already getting paid for it. I think it's lazy.
It's lazy, but, you know, it's
you
not.
Think it's smart?
It is smart.
To what he's saying?
It's smart, but at the same time, man, like, it's opening the door to.
I think the door is open. I think it's wide open.
You think it's wide open?
You will never be able to close it.
Yeah. No, it's that would be my argument, is that I think it's wide open. I think we're going to see more and more stuff like this. Artists are already using AI to write songs. People are already using AI to come up with melodies. It's already a thing. I'm curious how the fad goes as the technology even grows even further.
It's going to advance.
You know what I mean? Like, so is this going to create something to where people, I don't know, like, do people care more about it being a person? Like, what is the artist going to have to do to, like, verify that it is them, you know, in that aspect? And will the end user, will they care? We'll care, but will the next generation care?
The actual consumer more than likely will not, as long as it's jamming. And that's the part that I don't like about it.
Right.
I actually agree with you, B, on that, because I could see it being just that. They won't put too much thought into it, because if it's jamming, to his point, if it goes off, I mean, if it rings off, it rings off. It's less about how we got here and more about the record ringing off. I could right. definitely see that being the general, you know, consensus for sure.
Look,
especially if it pop off.
Look, man, off. There's apps right now where I can go in there. I can give my verification that you can use my voice. It can analyze. Mm-hmm. It can analyze your voice. It can analyze everybody's voice on here.
Mm-hmm.
And create our own podcast based upon whatever input we want. We don't have to do anything at all.
It's like that's Joe crazy, Rogan virtual podcast.
Yeah, stuff's kind of funny.
That was wild.
But like, obviously there's a video aspect of it too. But I mean, it's going to get to the point to where like, I mean, we could generate video too. You know, so it's we're there. So then the question becomes, you know, like it's going to be the artists and the creatives figuring out ways to hold on to this. And I think it's important, you know, like I agree with you that, you know, I care about the artist doing it. I don't really care about an AI doing this thing, but mm-hmm. at the same time, most people probably won't. And that Drake song does sound good. So
the thing that is really going to suck to me, man, is like, I don't think like the album cut, mm-hmm. if everybody's doing like the
singles,
the introspective pieces. You're not gonna get that no more.
I think you will.
You think so?
I think you can ChatGPT that up very easily.
You think so?
Absolutely. You can go on ChatGPT and say, from the perspective of somebody who has this background and wants to, from the background of somebody who grew up in a traumatic background where the girlfriend broke up with you over this type of thing, can you write a song based upon this and this story? And it'll write it for you. Like, yes, you can already do that. You can already do all that stuff. So
they can essentially give me an Eminem Kim.
Yes. Easy. A Stan. Yes, absolutely.
They could give us.
It's all in the prompting.
They could
give
us
how you prompt it.
This Can't Be Life from the Dynasty. Yeah. With the Scarface Beans and Jay-Z.
Yeah. I mean.
I'm sorry. That would be so scary. You've seen how quickly this has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Hollywood gets involved, that's when it's going to get real. Because remember when Napster hit and like there was like, oh, the barn doors open, all these songs are just flying out of the, you know, the internet. And, you know, but when it got to a point where movies,
that's when it became
all of a sudden it got real. It's like, okay, we got to find a way to monetize this and make it easier for people to buy our content as opposed to stealing it.
I think label driven, a lot of this stuff. I mean, the labels are the ones that are going to be, you know, kind of missing out. And they're the one that's going to push it like, oh, you know, this, you know, or they're going to figure out ways to monetize
it. So what does that do for the independent artists anymore? Like, are you going to get new artists anymore?
Good question. That's a good question.
Because people are just going to, they're going to fall into that routine of they want to hear Drake's voice. So at this point, Drake, Jay, the people that have been grandfathered into the business now, they'll live forever because people right. will continue to lose their voice. But if I want to hear something new and fresh, like, how am I going to do that anymore?
I think there'll still be a place for new artists and new people. There will always be a place for people to be able to bond and connect with people. You know, like, people that connect, we're talking about fan bases now. So like fan bases, people are more inclined to connect with you if you have real life experience and connection with them, right? And so through concerts and stuff like that and putting out albums and what you do on social media, all that stuff will still matter. And some people will just be super purist. And when it comes to like, no, it needs to be this person and you got to verify that it is or what, maybe there's going to be like a verified non-AI song or
there
something, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
You get a blue check if it's actually the person.
you call a $15 for that now.
I mean, but at the same time,
might be wrong. I mean,
but I think, the real connection with the person is never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the people that know you are always going to connect more with you. And so like, Jay mentioned a few weeks ago about, you know, like, okay, maybe there's going to be an AI Drake album, but you can go see the real Drake in person.
And that's where the premium is going to come.
That's it. Like, the premium will be, you know, or something.
It's going to cost you $500.
Probably.
It's already about $500.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that.
But maybe that's the thing. You know, maybe it's something. Who knows? You know, we're all speculating right now. I don't know what it's going to look like. What I do know is we're going to have to. It's going to be evolving.
I could see it being what you talked about when you brought back Jay Moore's point. Of almost like two options. It's the, do I want to go put that bread up to go see Drake, or do I just want to rock with the, you know, generated version and just call it a day? It'll, that choice is going to, if it keeps growing, that choice is definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
And he's going to tax if, as far as it relates to the premium part, he's definitely going to tax.
They already, look, when I see what it is to go to these festivals and just go to
a day,
I'm not going to any of this stuff. Once again, I'm old and I don't like being around that many people for free. But or to pay a premium, because, like, you know, I'm literally at a point where, like, you got to pay to see me. I'm not leaving the house if there's not a check involved.
I heard that.
You know, like, as much as I love New Edition, I didn't go see New Edition when they were here because I had, you know, it was either go see New Edition or go get a check. I went to go get my check.
We saw their kids, though.
Oh, yeah, actually, we did. With Teddy Riley and them kids was at the spot.
Wait. Oh, at y'all?
Yeah. Yeah, they came through. Bought a couple bottles. Okay. It was all good. A lot of times now, when you talk about seeing a concert,
yeah,
it's none of, like, it's funny when you see somebody post like a stub of a concert or a sporting event. It was like, I went to go last time the All-Star game was in Indiana. I think you could have gone down there for like $20.
Watch what it's gonna be this time.
Not gonna be $20 next year, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to make sure of that.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners. We appreciate this partners as always. Shout out to your chat. Y'all in the building. They using emotes. I like it. I like it. I like it. Nobody, Meek Dog, you ain't going to use mine. You got Jay Moore.
That's you.
Got,
that's you going, wee.
Smooth Hoosier ain't used mine. Oh, my goodness, man. I'm not surprised at Smooth Hoosier, but come on, Meek. Come on now. You got to put mine in there, too. There it is.
I enjoy it.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Good old MAGA rap. So, you see, look,
you gotta give that to me.
Yeah, I'm talking about favorite topics to destroy because there was a special on Vice about MAGA rap. I actually watched some of this. Shout out to the homie Spools. He's like, dude, make sure you watch
good
this.
Good brother Spools.
Yeah. I've been talking to him a lot about some of the stuff that we're talking about tonight, and he's like, dude, make sure you watch this. It's pretty good.
It was pretty good. I watched about half of it.
And I watched enough to know that I did not realize, one, how popular MAGA rap has become. I didn't understand until I saw some of the footage at the shows and these guys are traveling around the country performing. I didn't realize that they got to this point, but clearly they out here as it relates to MAGA rap.
Today.
Yeah, and they, there was this dude, man, and Spool sent me his name. What was the...
Was it 4GO or...
4GO Blow.
Blow, yeah.
4GO Blow, I believe, is the guy. So they kind of follow these guys around, and they follow him around. They talk about MAGA rap, but here's my thing. First of all, it's kind of interesting. These guys, they don't have any problem using hip-hop language style to promote the music. You know, they don't... They have... And it's most of the stuff that they say is rooted in, like, fear and hatred and, you know, even conspiracy theories, or some people would even say even racism
stuff. But MAGA,
there we go. But thank yeah. you. But
can't sugarcoat it.
That's it. But for me, MAGA rap is not held to the same standard or critiqued like hip-hop is, because with hip-hop we always talk about, oh, how it impacts the culture, the lyrics. It's so detrimental. This hip hop is so detrimental because, and there's always topics and conversations about this, but I don't hear the same attention being pointed towards, or the analysis pointed towards MAGA rap.
Because there's a standard with hip hop.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, let's say the first thing first. A lot of the people that are fans of MAGA rap, are not fans of hip hop and there would not even understand what the difference between MAGA rap and hip hop is.
That's it. That there we go.
I don't know how true that is, though, because
I agree with him on that one.
Because if you like MAGA rap, it is MAGA music, but it's essentially rap.
But rap isn't necessarily hip hop.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay.
You know, like
okay.
rapping.
Where you going?
You okay. going?
Once again, I hate to use this example again, because I don't feel like I'm picking on him. But when Freedom Williams was rapping and I'm going to make you sweat, was that hip hop?
No.
Technically,
it
wasn't. Like, it's your world and I'm just a squirrel. Milli Vanilli was rapping on Girl, You Know It's True, but that's not
was
hip-hop.
That hip hop?
No, it wasn't.
So just because you're saying words in rhyme, you know, that doesn't make it hip hop.
Okay.
So that's where I was going with
I
that.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. You hit exactly what I.
Well, that's the
jump
first.
Right on it.
I mean, because I watched the first half of that, and, you know, in the very beginning of the doc, it's like some little kid that walks up there. And he's just like, oh, Forgiato or whatever the hell his name is. And he's like, man, I don't really like rap music, but I like you.
I started listening to his music, and I'm like, yeah, I like this. And I don't like listening to rap music and stuff. I don't listen to that.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
It's just kind of like, yeah, exactly. You know, it's just like Eminem fans.
Was that scripted?
I don't think so.
I don't think it was.
But it's just like when somebody says to, and there's some black people that take this as a compliment, and it's not a compliment at all, when they say, you're different than other black people.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, I didn't have the words to say that's not a compliment, but I knew it was not a compliment.
Right.
You know, and so that's, it's kind of that same thing. To where it's like, oh, I don't like rap, but I like this.
I had something very similar happen to me. When I was working construction, I used to work with some people that they were from, you know, rural parts of Indiana.
Yeah.
But they used to have to come to the city all the time.
Right.
And I remember him distinctly saying, like, he's like, man, you not like the mother ends.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
It's like it just went right over his head, right?
Yeah, I was like, man. I took it as a moment to educate. You know what I mean?
Because you're a good one. Because
I'm proud of you for that. Yeah, I'm proud of you for that. I'm proud of you.
I took it as a moment to whoop some ass.
I was at my job.
Okay.
You know,
you know what? You got to think about the check.
Exactly.
He just talked about the power of the check.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was like, man, can you tell me, have you ever met somebody black? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going off of what you've seen on TV? You know what I mean? And ultimately, that's what it is. You know what I mean? All they have is the stereotypes that they've been taught and everything that they've seen on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, I might have been one of the first black people that he ever had a conversation with. Yeah, so.
Or a conversation, like, to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a thing.
But you'd be surprised. I mean, no, you wouldn't be surprised. At least no one.
Surprised about what?
You know, when I got to college, I went to SIU Carbondale, you know, so you drawing from all over Illinois.
Yeah.
There were guys on my floor. The black people they met in college is the first time they met anybody black.
Yeah. That happened to me in college, too. The dude was scared to shake my hand.
Yeah.
He was scared the black was going to rub off of him.
And, you know, we laugh, but this is the, look, yeah, that's this real. Is the wildest thing
that's real,
I've ever heard. Like, I remember.
That's real.
Can we pivot back into explaining what MAGA rap is?
I can't assume everyone has heard. Yeah, the other times we talked about MAGA rap.
So it's MAGA is. It was spawned from Trump's movement,
right?
But what it is, it's not necessarily just about Trump. It's very much Republican idea. Yeah,
it's
white nationalist, Republican, let's just say conservative. It's conservative ideals. So everything that you can think of that is the stereotypical Republican, that is what it embodies. And so it's just rap music that has appropriated hip hop culture to
advance
an entire different white narrative. Yeah. And so that's what it is. And there's, don't get me wrong. I mean, it is a thing. It's not super major. It's not super large, even though there's just a doc about it. Like, we talked about this a year ago or two years ago or something like that. Like,
we did.
It's not huge. I mean, the Bryson Gray is one guy and this Forgio Blow guy or whatever his name is kind of what it is.
Is he Caucasian?
The Forgio dude is. Bryson Gray's black.
Yeah, I was about to say, I did know there was somebody black there.
Boy, is he proud about what he's doing.
This other dude, this Forgio Blow or whatever his name is that his name? I keep screwing it up.
Yeah.
Is it Forgio?
I'll double check, but I believe it's Forgiato Blow.
Mr. Blow. he even said, he was like, yeah, I was just kind of rapping and I just saw kind of a lane kind of opened up for it. And so, you know, he just kind of went, yeah, they can rap. Like, they can rap well. But they can rap decently well. But as far as like being able to rap,
okay.
Is the content there? No, I mean, the content is just like, it's like Trump rhetoric. It's conservative rhetoric. It's like, it's antithetical to like everything that makes sense for hip hop. So it's just literally like its own type of thing.
Antithetical.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Because you know what?
He snapped, didn't he? Yeah, he snapped. He snapped.
I almost feel like I know people who are conservatives. We're not MAGA.
That's
MAGA
true.
Is something else. MAGA is almost a cult.
It's yeah. It's its own.
Like
entity.
I know people who yes. have conservative values, and I can wrap. We can have conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Those are the people who I talk to. We've talked about people being married to their opinions.
Yeah,
and dating them. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people who say I date my opinions. I don't marry them.
Right.
You know. So when I can talk to a conservative,
right.
somebody who's MAGA and has like who puts the Trump flag above the American flag, those are people I can't really talk to.
But irrational though, it's like you can't get through.
Once again, it's cultish.
I think, okay.
Do you disagree?
I disagree to an extent, because I feel like the difference between the MAGA people and just regular conservative Republicans is the MAGA people say the quiet part out loud, and the conservative Republican people they know how to maneuver around it and say it.
I like that. You're very much right.
I like that.
I can agree with that. For some of them.
For most of them.
Even if I have been lucky enough to meet that one conservative where we've been able to have a conversation and be like, oh, you know what, you're right on that. Or, you know, maybe I've been lucky in that way where I've been able to sit and talk to someone who I can't talk to MAGA people. I'm sorry, you're a lost cause.
We would agree that the percentage that Jay Moore is referring to is
smaller.
Very small.
Because remember when there was this whole thing, it was the Tea Party.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
And you know why we don't talk about the Tea Party anymore? Because that's just the Republican Party now.
Yeah.
Most of them are the people who become, those are the people who
they went MAGA.
Kiss when they wheel in a gold statue of Donald Trump, even though like even though they talk about being Christians and all this, they still love these false idols. You know what I'm saying? Like they will forego anything that they've ever actually thought to kiss this man's ass.
Long, right. get your point off.
Literally and figuratively.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I see the differences, right? So, like, yes, there's a difference between fans of, let's say, Bryson Gray and Forgio Blow versus an Eminem just listening to Eminem fan. But a lot of Eminem fans at the same time that are white have very conservative viewpoints and have very strong opinions about hip hop just because they like a couple hip hop artists.
Even though Eminem told them that he doesn't need him as fans.
But at the same time, they will ride for him. So I feel like there's a weird overlap between these two fan bases. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that of their political standpoint, even if they're not super political, it's, you know, like where you stand on race issues in this country, whether or not you want it to be a political thing or not, it is political. Mm-hmm. And so like if you get triggered by the fact that you think that you get mad that somebody says Eminem isn't the greatest and you think he is and he's the great white hype and all this stuff and people are like, nah, he's not. And then you get triggered on that. You're still falling over into that group a little bit.
Jump in, B.
That makes sense.
You were going
to
say something.
So how did those people that find themselves to be conservatives or even MAGA types, how did they feel when Eminem was directly taking shots at Trump?
That's a good point.
They felt abandoned because they thought he was on their team.
Maybe that's.
But maybe that's where Kid Rock was like, I see an opportunity there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a very good question. I'm guessing that the people that are extremely far on the right hand side of that were probably like, well, screw this guy. Mm. And I'm guessing people that were kind of on the fringe a little bit, maybe some of them paid attention to him and maybe some of them just stopped, you know. Mm. But if you're just, but you know, I think it's probably a little bit of everything. I don't know of any of those people personally, but I see them in the comment sections all the time.
Like, yeah, all the time.
You got MAGA people in the.
Whenever we talk about Eminem,
it's gonna be way too.
Not necessarily MAGA people, but
just Eminem.
Because again, I don't know any MAGA. I don't know any MAGA fans because it's like they're not fans. They're not hip hop fans. They're just like.
You know, like they like this thing.
The comments will definitely be lit.
But they get alerts anytime we talk about them or anybody that they love. Like when we said
Eminem, Nicki Minaj.
No. When we said something about Kid Rock, Candace Owens. Like, I mean, we said something about how like Cardi B had said something, responded to something Candace Owens said.
Yeah.
And then we had like all these MAGA grandmothers coming in, like people who we know don't listen to this show.
Mm-hmm. You're only here
to defend Candace Owens.
That's it. That's the only reason you're here.
Kid Rock, you would never. We're not on you. You never listen to this show.
You're not qualified to have this conversation.
I was just surprised when they followed them around for the documentary. I was surprised at the reception that they picked up when they were recording, like just on the B-roll or whatever.
Right.
I didn't realize it was that. Like, I thought this was just something where there's guys that are recording videos on YouTube. They're getting views. It's floating around. I didn't know the show footage existed.
Have you seen the MAGA rallies?
That's where they perform at.
Yeah.
I was sleep on the fact that they perform at the rallies.
Great checks.
Yep. It's grifting.
Like when you see the Blacks for Trump, and they don't even put the t-shirts on black people all the time. You got to understand, there's a check involved.
That's tough right there. That's God tough, Jay Moore. I ain't even think about that.
Give me a t-shirt. Shoot, you might see me out there.
My day off.
You know, it's going to hurt the show.
So. I don't know. Maybe I'll get a shirt. Somebody gift me a shirt. I'll wear a Blacks for Trump shirt.
Just wear it around. See, on the show. On the other hand,
might enhance the show.
You could burn it like people in Cleveland did LeBron jerseys.
Yeah, yeah, let me buy it first.
I was going to get a Justice for Juicy t-shirt made, but like, I didn't know how people would react to that.
So Academics, he signed a deal with a company called, it's a broadcast company called Rumble, I believe, and it's a video platform.
Mm-hmm.
And the way OK Player described it was it's a video platform that's attracted friends, conservative voices. The angry kind, the kind who didn't want the election outcome we got, the kind who liked their programming and gender. I'm sorry, garden variety misogyny, hate speech, and their snark. He's like the kind of site where there's just, it houses trolls, basically. I'm just paraphrasing.
Isn't that where Trump went to? I'm not sure. I think Rumble was the platform.
Was that one he went to?
Truth Social. I thought that was.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Anyway, with this signing, I don't know like how he's going to use it. I'm not saying this is. They signed him for a reason, but who knows how he's going to use it.
Because he's a name. You can say whatever you got to say about Academics. He is a name.
Yeah, he chases clout.
He draws clicks.
He's also a clout chaser. So he's going to move towards the clout and do what's necessary for him to get paid and get broke off. That's just how he's always moved. War in Chirac. He didn't care about what was going on with that. That was his rise to fame. So that's what he got. There's kind of been a trend, you know, and Spools brought this point up to me as we were talking, like over the last maybe 10 years or so, where, you know, the far right sentiments that some bloggers use, it just turns out it kind of comes off as a way of, you know, just trying to get clout and attention and people looking to go against the grain just for the sake of clout and just for the sake of, you know, trying to get views and clicks. When, you know, in all actuality, we really can see through that. And Academics is actually, you know, he's built his name based off that. Do you guys see that type of trend? Because he's this deal, who knows what the ramifications are going to be, but I mean, they knew what they were doing when they went to pick this guy, right? Because you just said who he is and what he actually does.
It didn't matter if he was conservative, if it was left wing, if it was middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a reaction if you go into business with DJ Academics,
right?
Whether it be from what, you know, his interaction with Tekashi, whether it be the things he did, the war in Chirac, which you brought up.
Right.
You know, and he's also, you know, dipped his toe into this quote unquote manosphere thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is a lot of times when you have that part of your brand, you know, in the peanut butter with the chocolate, if you will, sometimes it's the same way when we talked about last week, there was a certain female personality who got in trouble because she had a white nationalist on, because she's like, oh, well, this person draws a certain level of heat on the internet, and so do I. And
right.
You thought you had something in common, but you really didn't, and it hurts your brand.
Or when people bring people on like that, but they don't have anything to say because they're not educated enough to even combat any of the conversation.
Good point.
You know, which is what the person last week was.
Right.
Good
but
point.
Even I, you know, but I can even say, okay, well, you know, these Gillian Wallow got involved with Barstool. Barstool has there's some questionable things.
They threw them a bag too.
I know, but there's some questionable, you know. And Deion Sanders had a situation with Barstool, but when you look at Barstool's history, they've done some questionable things.
McAfee's got a bag from Barstool,
but he's divorced. Good point. He divorced himself from Barstool.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Okay.
None of his branding has anything to do with Barstool now. So let's not, you know. But I'm just saying, like, a lot of times you get involved with these brands. Not really. It's kind of the weird thing. Like, whenever I buy a hockey jersey, I got to go ahead and Google the person and make sure they didn't say nothing real wild, you know, because, like, sometimes I know who the player is, but sometimes I don't know who the player is. Mm-hmm. And I'm out here walking around with this, you know, this crazy white Canadian that really doesn't like black people. I don't want to be that person, you know. And I think there are people who don't even do that level of due diligence because they see a check coming. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And so that's I don't want to give academics that amount of credit. I just think he took the check. He doesn't care what, you know, when he sees what it is. I don't think he's that deep of an individual.
What you think
to even care about things like that?
Okay, fair enough. What do you think, Long, in terms of just act and concept of him with the, you know, signing on to? I'm not that familiar with Rumble. I'm just going off how okay player.
I'm not super familiar with Rumble either, but apparently it's, like you said, Jay mentioned the Manosphere people.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about it. It's like these places are going to exist. I already don't care about academics, so I really don't care that he's on this other platform that I'm not going to check out.
You just talked, I think you mentioned when you said some of the people that are on TikTok that kind of go that direction. I'm talking about the clout chasing, attention getting, fake going against the grain people. Like, is that becoming something that we'll start to see more of? Because he's going to be a poster child for that when he goes to.
He's already been a poster child for that. I think he's been doing this. I think he's controversial just for controversial's sake.
There we go.
That's what I get from it.
I would agree.
Maybe he's not. I don't know. I don't listen to him enough, but I know he's not a relatively smart individual. Even though he went to school, he went to Rutgers and all that stuff.
There's a difference between smart and savvy.
Yeah. True.
There are people who are not particularly smart, but they are savvy.
They are savvy.
But, you know, I watched him debate some political guy on socialism, and he got ran through.
Extremely cooked.
So it's politicized. So he's going to be sitting on one side of it. So
right.
That's what he's going to be associated with. So if that's what he's okay with, which fits with him, all right, cool. I guess, you know, Adam22 apparently has been, you know, wanting to interview Nazis. So it's like, I don't
Why
know,
Why am
man.
I not surprised?
It's just like...
He'd be another one that I think would...
Leaning towards the MAGA.
Yeah, it's like leaning towards, like, if hip-hop is not super right-wing. Again, right. We had this conversation a couple weeks ago, like, is hip-hop conservative?
Right.
It's toward the middle, just like everyone else, man. Like most people aren't super right. They aren't super left. They're somewhere in the middle.
They're capitalists, is what I would say. And that would be right in the ideology world, which Democrats and Republicans are both capitalists, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the ideology, when you break it down to liberal, conservative, and left, what we're talking about is a network in Rumble that is conservative, not liberal, not leftist. So he's aligning himself with something that is conservative. And if you ask me, again, like I said a couple weeks ago, is hip-hop conservative? I'd probably say no. Mm-hmm. But I would say that it is capitalist because it jumps back and forth on those fringes a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like it doesn't make sense to really... I feel like he's almost opened it up to reach this whole MAGA type audience a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
There we go.
That's where I would lean towards, but I don't even know. Like, this is weird. Like, if I was if I was like a Conway, I'm not, but if I was going to say if I was a hip hop artist, but like if I'm a Conway or if I'm a Freddie Gibbs or if I'm a Black Thought or if I'm a hip hop, somebody that's credible, like, I don't think I would go on a network and be interviewed on Rumble with somebody. Like, I don't think I would do that.
Right.
So, right. I don't know. It just seems like it's going against everything. So, he again, to your guys' point, he's just going for the money. He's just going...
It's a money play to me. It's just following all money. It's a money play.
You got
play.
Any thoughts, B, in terms
I don't think
of-
he's, like, super clever like that. So, I think he's just following the money.
He might not be clever, but he's provocative.
He knows how to do that.
And he is funny.
The gets some people going.
Yeah.
I don't think he's funny, but
I'm sleep. I don't watch enough to think he's funny. I'm sleep.
Everything. I mean, he's like corny.
I mean, I laugh. Yeah, he's at more corny. Him. I'm not sure if I'm laughing with him.
I'm not laughing with him. I would definitely be laughing at him. It might be something I'm missing. Am I missing something? There's nothing funny about dude to me.
Maybe it's me. Man.
Okay.
Like. Maybe I do have some.
Oh no, I can say I've laughed at him more than once.
Yeah, maybe I do like some garden variety misogyny from time to time.
Garden variety.
But all in all, man. I will say sometimes though, when I do hear his stance on certain things, he might speak about hip hop in a very condescending tone. And that is what the people from Rumble, that is what they ultimately are going to
amplify.
Yeah. You know,
because we can get this person who is supposedly from the culture.
Yeah.
And to speak
and quote unquote for.
Look, it's just
the
like
culture.
I'm just keeping it real. It's just like when they get somebody black to be on Fox News.
Yeah, okay. He's like the hip hop Candace Owens.
When you can get Candace Owens,
good call,
Herman Cain.
Yeah,
I guess God bless the dead. Let me not be that. I should be better than that. When you get these people and then be like, see, we can't be that wrong. We got these black, you know, but you know, you got to understand, these are black people. We don't want the cookout that will come in and say what. And there's, you can make so much money as a black person in America talking bad about other black people.
Yep.
Yeah. Like it is.
See Jason Whitlock.
You know, like
he's making a living off talking about black.
There's
folks.
Always going to be a space. Look, do you realize that Harriet Tubman was married twice? You know
what?
But you know why? You know because she. You know why? Because her first husband was going to tell on her. So these kind of individuals have always been around.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta chill. Like I'm saying, my old man was
game, some game. Right?
So garden variety misogyny was coming, but I left it alone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey,
I'm proud of you, man.
But what I'm saying is, there's always been a space for black people to look down on other black people at the behest of white people.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
And why is that?
Because there's money.
Yep.
Some people don't have any. They don't have
capitalism.
Thank you. Thank you.
But he beat me to it.
And capital owners. And who are the capital owners? They're the white people.
Look,
mostly.
Look, Clarence Thomas has been out here taking free trips and gifts and getting land bought for him by a dude whose hobby is buying Nazi paraphernalia for the past 25 years. It doesn't get too much worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you when you're right.
You know, if we still had shame in this country, let me stop because I could. That's where I could get into trouble. Okay, I'll say it. If it was 25 years, if it was 20 years ago, Clarence Thomas would have to resign. But we don't have shame in this country anymore.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is?
Oh, go ahead.
What you're saying is that we need to make America great again.
That's what you're saying.
Make America great. Bring back shame. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey,
I'm
step in the name of. Feel you from time to time, you know what I mean. So
I mean, what?
I caught it as soon as he said it. You are a fool. I caught it as soon as he said it. Wow.
Yeah, it took me a second. I was like, what is going on?
Wow. There was some wordplay involved there. That's
but a lot of wordplay that some people are not going to get.
Yeah.
And see, this is why you got to catch the live show.
Right.
Man, that's a...
Where do we go from there?
I don't even know. I don't even know if I can have anything left.
I mean...
After that, that's...
It's, you know.
I
think all of us... I mean, to some degree, we're all hypocrites to some degree.
We all are. Yes. I agree.
You know, and I would say that the one distinct thing that I can say about everybody that I associate with, friends and everything else, is that we all strive to do better.
Agreed.
And even if we have certain type of viewpoints, you know, we're trying to do better.
We're trying. We are.
We're trying.
And so, we've gotten better. It was some dark days, boy. We've come a long way now. Thank you, Long. We are trying.
No, I think in general, though, you know, I think once you get to the point to where you just kind of accept stuff and you disregard certain people and just be like, nah, that's how it is. It's like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't get mad at certain things anymore, man. I just really don't have it in me to be upset about it anymore. Because if it does not affect my everyday.
Exactly.
What reason do I have to be upset about
it? I'm at the age. Sorry, go ahead, Long.
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying I'm at the age now where... yeah, I want to put this. My energy distribution is very important now.
Mm-hmm.
What I pay attention to, what I try, what I don't pay attention to, what I waste, what I devote my time to, what I don't waste my time on. Like that, the older I get, the more important that becomes. Because I used to waste a lot of energy on stuff that had no bearing on my life, to your point about just day to day. I had to grow out of that. Because we can really waste a lot of time. I was the, give you an example, I was the 6-paragraph person on Facebook arguing in sports groups. For what? Like, why am I writing 6 paragraphs and trying to change a grown man's opinion about some people that ain't never met us before? Like, you have to grow out of
that. You can get caught up in that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go down that rabbit hole, social media rabbit hole, where you start arguing with people that you know, one, you're probably never going to meet, and two, you're just wasting time. Like, you're not going to change that person's opinion. You have to grow out of certain stuff like that and just focus your energy and time on, you know, things that are just conducive to your life, your daily life, and go get that bread.
And, I think there's something to be said, too. It's like the one thing that I want to make sure that I'm never doing, it's like a personal thing, is I don't ever want to be in a place where I feel like I get complacent about like learning about stuff just because it doesn't affect me too. You know, like, for example, I have no issues with trans people at all.
Mm-hmm.
But for a very long time, I had no understanding about trans related issues because I just didn't care and it didn't affect my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a concerted effort to learn more about the issues that they were going through just so that I could be knowledgeable of it. And just so, because I don't want to be like hindering somebody's life just by happenstance, you know, and harm somebody just because I was being willfully ignorant about some
stuff.
Just
lack of knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like if I know better, then I should probably be better. And that's just kind of how I approach stuff in general, you know, and it's just like, all right, cool. Maybe I was an idiot about that stuff. All right, cool. Let me do better.
Well, I think that's
just how I approach things in general.
I respect it.
When you bring that up, I think about how a lot of times people wind up being offended. We talk about people being offended on people's behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know, mm-hmm. like when the whole Dave Chappelle came up, mm-hmm. thing came up, like, they're just like, oh, I'm so offended. I'm going to give it a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever. And I remember I said some things and I said, I actually wondered, I was like, was that hurtful? And, you know, I had the advantage, if you will, of actually talking to somebody in the trans community. And I told them what I said and I sent them a clip of what we talked about on the show. And they were like, I don't know what all these people are getting excited about. I'm a part of that community. I thought his show was funny and I didn't think now, once again, that's one person.
An anecdote.
That's one person.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I don't think the most people who wanted to get offended on behalf of the trans community's behalf even did that much work.
Right. As being a white person who grew up in a white town, and I relate almost everything back to like my own path of like learning about racism,
mm-hmm.
and how long it took me to get there and all that stuff. So I approach all this stuff kind of from an angle of like, I know what it's like to do education of myself over 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I understand like the damage that I could have invoked just out of strictly willful being ignorance. Ignorant, just ignorance. Being ignorant. So
not
like,
willful, but just being
just
ignorant.
Just ignorant in general.
And the thing is, we throw that term, the word ignorant, and people get offended. But like saying someone is ignorant of something is not particularly an insult.
I agree. But you know, so I equate everything to that because I know what it's like to like how, or maybe, you know, it's just, I know how it works. I know how it affects people. And so I was very, very like liberal about the stuff for a long time. I kind of got out of that stuff. And, you know, again, it's like you said, to let people get offended as they're going to get offended. It's not my job to get offended for somebody.
On your behalf.
Would it be?
But I will check people.
Yeah.
Would it be fair? Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I come from the school of like, sometimes I'm going to be willfully ignorant. You know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? I have nothing against you. You know what I mean? It's just like, everybody's going to get these jokes.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, like, that's what I said about Dave Chappelle. Like,
yeah.
If he said, okay, I'm not going to tell jokes about trans people, that would be treating them special.
Exactly.
Do you want to be treated equal or do you want to be treated special? I'll treat everyone equal. I'm not going to treat anybody special.
Exactly.
The arguments of that that people have in mm-hmm. general is that your stance on that mm-hmm. comes from a place of privilege and power. Because not being trans or not, if that's even what you're talking, it could be about anything, but like from that particular community, being cis in general is the place of privilege and power in this country. So it's just like me making black jokes in a very specific way when I'm not black. Like I wouldn't do that stuff because one, I think it's corny, but two, it's just like, I don't want to do that stuff. And I see like the power element involved in that. I just, I can't.
But I see your argument.
I can't.
Too.
Yeah, I can't go. I can't get down with that. You know, mm-hmm.
I was gonna ask you before I lose this train of thought. You talked about your own education. We grew up together, so your own education in terms of, you know, from a racial standpoint and where we grew up and the things that you saw, which I actually thought that was dope because I've known you so long. I was there for the progression. Right. Do you think that also when you said it's white town, but you also were from elementary school
exposed
and around a lot of black folks too? Did that aid in your process as you were learning and going through? Because some people, to the point where he talked about college, didn't have the opportunity to be around a lot of black folks. You, on the other hand, coming up through elementary school and middle school, you did. So you had a chance to get. Well, be exposed to both worlds.
That's my argument, though. So that would be my argument. Even though I was around mm-hmm. a lot of black people were my friends. It's who mm-hmm. I hung around with pretty much all the time. I was involved in hip-hop culture. I played basketball with a lot of black people.
True.
It's my entire process to learn, like, actually learn this stuff. It didn't really affect it that much.
Mm.
It, from an individualist standpoint, right? Yes, this one black person, I'm cool with them. But I didn't understand how race affected anything on a larger scale.
I see.
Right. And so like when I'm, you know, a lot of my viewpoints, even going back to like the hip hop group I was a part of, they were trying to educate me all the time.
Oh, I know.
And I was just like, I'm not trying to hear all that. It's not even that I'm not even trying to hear it. It's just I don't understand what you guys are saying because I feel like I understand this already.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so like it took me a very long time to unpack and unlearn and to do all that stuff. And if me. Somebody who has had black friends and black best friends True. For most of my life, has been involved in hip hop culture, dated a black woman for 5 years.
True.
But you said even, I remember you saying like when the Mike Brown thing happened, there was a disconnect.
So imagine through all this stuff, right, is happening, right? And then I'm not the white person that just is not around black people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So it's something to where like it took me this long. All the way up to the Mike Brown situation for it to click a little bit.
Yeah.
And then everything that happened afterwards to click even a little bit more.
Yep.
If it took me that long.
Right.
Imagine a person that's just meeting a black person for the first time in college.
Man, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So I have a little bit of grace when it comes to that.
It's a good point.
But at the same time, it's super frustrating from... I mean, I'm sure you guys, I don't even know if you guys are even black people in general are frustrated or if it's just you indoctrinated to just accept it.
We're just so
it.
Used to.
That's what I mean. You know what I mean?
Like, white people not getting it.
That's what I mean. So like,
I just don't care. I can't care.
Exactly. Anymore. Which makes sense. You know what I mean? And so I went through a phase where I cared very much and I was, you know, and I had some time where I, you know, there's still family members I don't talk to anymore because they, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, I understand why they don't understand.
Yep.
But I don't understand why they can't like, listen to me.
Yeah.
And it's like,
because they married.
Perhaps.
Ooh, bring it back home.
Yeah. See what he did there.
Yeah. So yeah, that's,
I've always given you, your flowers for how you approach in this conversation and this talk, but I think it's also very, it's an educational way that you do it because you're speaking about it from your personal experiences, but I feel like there are people that can pick up game from what you say based off your experiences. It's not about just everybody, let's just talk about, have the white guy talk about this. This came up through actual dialogue, but I think there's value in what you say because there might be said person that we talked about use as an example that might look at it and be like, yo, I never thought about it like that. Or I like how open-minded he is. Or I like the fact that he actually took time to learn and do research and feel better about it and go through the progressions to get to where you are. I think there's value there.
I mean, I appreciate it, I guess. I do. It's just, you know, it's an interesting conversation. It's a hard conversation to have.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, not for me.
But I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? But yeah. In general, like to get to that point, to get to the point to where you're ready to talk and have those conversations, like...
Yeah.
It's a process for everyone.
Yeah. 100%. It's a process. And I understand, you know... I understand some people just can't.
They're not there yet.
And they probably will never be there, you know.
To put a bow on this show, you talked about black folks being frustrated. One thing that frustrates me, black folks misusing $250 worth of food stamps, like this brother to my left. Hey. So that frustrated, as a black person, that really frustrated me last time he was here.
Well, you know, once again, that comes off as very MAGA because you don't want him to enjoy.
Is that what that is?
Yes, exactly.
Did I come off as MAGA when I said that?
On academic show right now.
I was about to say, so just because.
Now it's Jesse Jackson again.
Yeah, just because I don't have, you know, just because I'm not paying for this out of my pocket, I can't enjoy some of the finer things. I can't want to eat just as good as you because I'm not paying for it.
Just saying, man. Like,
so what?
They allotted me this.
Let's get to the root. Let's get to the root of this. Why don't you like it when black people
enjoy the
misuse food stamps?
Yeah.
Or let's take it beyond black people. Let's say, why don't you like it when poor people?
Exactly. That's what it is.
In general,
is that what it is?
This is about your dislike of poor people.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. The poor working class people who are able to come up and have a little something to where, you know what, we can have a taste of exactly what these other people who have taken advantage of this capitalist system
are able to enjoy. I knew he was going to start shaking your head when he said that.
Because that's actually the truth.
I consider this young man a friend of mine, right? Uh-huh. So what I would like to see him do is, if he has $250 worth of food stamps, my brother, let's go into the store and let's think long term. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and get some stuff that we're going to be able to use down the road.
Why do I have to think long term?
Why not?
When I know that I'm going to get another $250 next month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking if the $250 is a one-off.
No, this is not a one-time.
Even if it was a one-off. You know what I'm saying?
Why is he spending $175 on lobster?
But again.
Who is spending $175 on lobster? Okay. That's a lot of damn lobster.
Yeah. A lot of lobster.
But seriously, let's take this. Let's run with this a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So what's so wrong about. All right. So the person that needs food help.
Yeah.
Why does said person need food help?
They might be going through some hard times at the moment. Could be unemployed. Could be family issues. I don't know. Could be.
Would it be safe to say that maybe the people that are going through hard times, maybe they're uneducated?
Perhaps.
Maybe they haven't given or been given certain type of opportunities as other people.
Maybe. Maybe their job was sent across
Seas,
because you could get somebody to do the same job he was doing for $17.50 an hour for $2.50 an hour.
None of this applies to him.
How do you know?
I know him.
Everything. No, we're talking about hypotheticals.
What about
you were upset because the same thing was hypothetical for him to even get the $250.
Okay. I'll see you this and I'll raise you.
Go ahead.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in that position.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I know someone that may be in that position. They might not have the education that I have.
Okay.
And they might not have the money, but they're getting some assistance.
Okay.
And the assistance that they're giving is only allowing them to make it this far. And they need a little help.
That's different.
And with them needing a little help, they're willing to give me some of their privilege. Okay. For 50 cent on the dollar. And I'm like, you know what? I'm willing to help you out if you're willing to help me out.
And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion, because it allows those people to exploit the capitalist system in the same way that they're being exploited, to sell what's given to them to somebody so that they can have a little bit of money to do some things with.
Yeah.
whether it be to buy a bottle of Hennessy.
He's preaching right there. He's preaching right there.
I'm just saying, like, I understand. Look, say with the first $150 I buy my ramen and Donald Duck orange juice and all that other.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Like, say I have enough left over. I say, you know what? Me and my kids, we're going to have shrimp stir fry tonight.
I'm not mad at that.
But I'll also say this.
I'm not mad at that.
I don't make a lot of money.
Right.
I enjoy what I do, but I don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to remind myself that I do deserve to have stuff that I want every once in a while.
Praise
that
God.
I agree with.
And yes.
I agree with that.
And
once again, we talked about it earlier, being able to pay for all the things you need. But you know what? Sometimes there's some stuff I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I shouldn't, just because the situation that I'm in, like,
that's real.
The things that I do in my life, I feel are valuable to a lot of people.
Sure.
But I don't get paid a lot for it. So does that mean that I just shouldn't do it? I'm not like pushing this on
no,
you.
No, I got you.
I'm asking the question in general. Like, does that mean I would say what I do is pretty valuable.
It is.
In general.
It is valuable.
But I don't get paid a lot for it. And it's just what it is, right?
Facts.
And if I don't do that, what I do, somebody's going to do that as well. So does that mean that person doesn't deserve to, you know what I mean? So it's like there are levels to it. And it's like, no, we should be able to, people should be able to go to the doctor, not be poor and be stressed all the time from being poor. And, you know, if they
want tomahawk steaks are on the WIC approved list, I'm going to give me a tomahawk steak.
And if you want, and if, you know, and if they got some lobsters, then you should be able to get some lobsters.
Yeah, he's getting,
hey,
$180 worth of lobster. I already know.
I shouldn't have to eat rap snakes.
I don't know why that would struck me so funny. He's like, I don't have to eat these little Romeo snacks.
Boosie, we see you, Boosie.
I don't have to eat the Boosie Louisiana hot spicy ramen.
We see you, Boosie, with the rap snacks.
The Boosie Louisiana heat chips, they do smell.
They probably fire though. I heard they go.
Not probably, they are.
They are, okay. Yeah. All right.
So
when you go into one of these communities, you know, that have one of these food deserts, you're going to probably find rap snacks there. So I know you don't frequent these areas from time, but I might find myself in one of these areas from time to time.
Sure.
Do yourself a favor and grab you a bag of
Lil Boosie
Louisiana.
I will report back after I get a bag of those. I got you.
They have juice now too, and I don't
know. I ain't had the juice now. I don't know about the rap snack juice. Yeah, I don't know about the juice.
No.
I mean,
I do not recommend it.
Just the same way I'm not drinking Boosie juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool on the juice. Cool.
There are some liquor endorsements where, like, I will not get involved.
Drink
with
some Lil Baby water.
I don't know if I should advertise this place, but it's a place over there off High School Road, 465.
The tacos?
No, it's a gas station.
Oh.
Right there at the corner. They have the
Boosie juice.
Or yeah, the rap snack juice.
Rap snacks juice, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and get you some of that. Let me know.
I say never go to this little spot down here because they tax so much.
I can believe 54th?
46.
Right here.
46.
No, it's like, I call it
the bodega. It's like $7.
It's like a fake bodega.
Okay. Yeah.
That, man. It's ridiculous.
Yep. I couldn't believe it.
We appreciate the support as always. Shout out to the chat. The chat's still in with us. I see you, Flood, Smooth Hoosier. Shout out to everybody to stop by today. We really appreciate
the
support.
Oh, that's right. Papa Bear, shout out to them.
NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need. If you like it, if you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up for Patreon, all that good stuff. We really appreciate the support. Shout out to you, bro, for coming through, man.
I appreciate the opportunity again. You can catch me at the Drunken Nights. That's every Monday. And you can catch me every Friday at the Casbah. Yeah, for the pour up.
All right, man. We appreciate the support as always, y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Goodbye.